Hey guys, welcome to the Self-Positive Podcast. My name is Duke DeLate, and I've been a dating coach and self-development guy for a long, long time. So I wanted to start this project and deal with some of the more general issues that I have, other people have, my students have. And so today's episode was brought to you by me, and later on I think we'll get some guests and shit, but for now, enjoy today's episode and check out the blog selfpositive.org, and you can find all the worksheets and the auxiliary materials and things. Thanks for listening, and here's the episode. Hey guys, Duke here for the Self Positive Podcast. We're on episode 15, and today we're talking about self-hypnosis for self-development or self-improvement. Yeah. Self-hypnosis for self-improvement. Self-hypnosis. I don't know if you've heard about hypnosis before, but I'm pretty freaking aware of it because I got certified as a hypnotist in 2016. I trained over at Hypnosis Management Institute and with the guys at Transform Destiny, Michael Stevenson and Kayla. And I got my certification as a hypnotist. And I started learning about how to get people to drop out of their normal bullshit stuff and into trance and into a place where their subconscious mind was able to take in stuff from the outside world without having it interrupted by the critical faculty, is what they call it. It's this... Your conscious mind comes up with all these things to give excuses and fight against letting things go in and affect your subconscious belief system. And so it brings up a bunch of shit, and we call that the critical faculty. And when you go into trance in hypnosis, then you sort of remove the critical faculty, and it keeps you from judging all the stuff that goes in and allows you to give suggestions to your subconscious brain. Anyway, after studying hypnosis a lot, it's just magic, like hocus pocus. People in all of these industries, in the self-help industry, to the dating industry, to the hypnosis industry, to the NLP industry, they like to make up a bunch of words so that they seem really important. And they're like, oh, without this thing, it's impossible. So we learned all this stuff on like how to convince you that you could go into trance and it'd stick your hand to the table or make you not be able to bend your arm. And so that was a proof that the things that we were saying hypnotically could influence your mind, and you don't need all that shit. I started jumping in, no offense to any hypnotists out there. I mean, obviously, it's great work, especially if you hire a hypnotist and go to the hypnotist office and do the hypnosis thing, but as far as hypnosis is concerned, it's not necessarily, in order to remove the critical faculty and allow yourself to influence your subconscious mind with things that aren't normal for it and what it would normally kick out, you don't need all of that stuff. You don't need to drop into deep, deep trance. So I was kind of frustrated at it, and I started looking at other ways of hypnotizing people. And I found Vince Lynch. He was a street hypnotist. And I found the work of Dr. Milton Erickson, who was in the late 50s. He was he has a really cool story. I'll probably go over it in some deep hypnosis stuff later on in the blog, but he sort of created this idea of modifying things in real time based on how his patients were responding, and he would make things really, really unclear to, instead of chunking down and getting more and more detailed, he would start moving around, chunking up, and moving around in the upper levels, and came out with this thing he called the Milton model. And he would chunk up and make things a lot more fuzzy, and then your brain would start moving along on all these related topics, and then it would go into trance, and it was really, really cool. I think I'll drop into some more kind of cornerstone blog posts on hypnosis specifically later on, because I have like fucking hours and things to say about Erickson and his techniques. But I found a level of hypnosis that was able to influence people without having to be typically dropped into trance with some sort of induction routine. And that led me to the guys at HMI, and I found a book. I forgot what it was called. It was like Self-Hypnosis to Improve Your Sex Life. It was pretty groundbreaking for me. I saw some results with my sex life after using the book, but I didn't have an issue with the hypnosis inside, because it was so easy to kind of self-trance yourself out and give yourself the influence that you wanted to give. And there was no resistance because the ideas were yours. It's like you had two versions of yourself. You have like the disempowered self that isn't listening to reason. And then you have the empowered self that, you know, would have everything be perfect all the time. And you just kind of let that self talk to the other self while everything's going on. And you don't really reject this stuff when you're tranced out by yourself. So I really, really liked self-hypnosis. And I did a lot of things early on with affirmations where I'd record them in my own voice and then have them played back to me. And that was pretty fucking cool. If you can hypnotize yourself or throw yourself into trance, you can bypass some of the critical shit that goes on in your brain and set good ideas in there on the inside. Usually, if you're going to do hypnosis by yourself, like there's all these things on YouTube, like you can, you know, while you sleep, learn to have body positivity, or quit smoking while you sleep, and what, you can just search that stuff on YouTube, like self-hypnosis, and then whatever you're trying to deal with, and, you know, attract a lover, you know, there's all this stuff on YouTube, and you can just listen to it for free, and the people who create it, they run their own blogs, and they run their own websites where you can buy longer hypnosis courses and meditations that will allow you to focus on the shit you want to be focusing on. And the problem with all that stuff is, and it's not really an issue, but the problem with it is that somebody else is talking to you. So I find myself, as I'm going to sleep, there'll be these girls, I forgot, one of Kim Walsh or something, one of her name is, and she's talking about body positivity and dealing with health. And so I'm like trying to fall asleep, and I'm kind of moving into trance because she has an induction thing in there. And then she has this like weird English voice that comes in and just kind of disrupts. Like it's out of my ordinary, so it kind of disrupts my trance mode, which doesn't really hurt with the hypnosis part, but it just makes it a little bit more difficult. And I think that when I'm listening to my own recorded voice and stuff, it's a lot more, I reject it a lot less, and it's way easier to deal with what comes up in the mental visualizations that show up. If the person on the other end who's creating the hypnosis stuff for you is never met you before, they don't know your experience. They don't know what your images are you bring, your reference experiences. They don't know what you've seen in the past. So they don't quite know how to describe scenes and scenarios in a way that isn't going to trigger you. Like if you had some issues at home, and then the, you know, as you were growing up, and then the hypnotist is talking about how wonderful, you know, playing on the playground was when you, you know, saw your friend get, you know, beat up by bullies on that same playground, it's going to create a dissonance into your brain, because they don't know who you are. They're just doing things general. And I actually have a bunch of general hypnosis stuff. I think it's on my hard drive. I'll have to upload it, and then you guys can hear them and listen to them. I'll put them up for free. I just don't, I don't know where they are right now, but I'll put them up, and you can, you know, hear me fucking lead you through guided meditations on stuff. I created it for a project I killed a long time ago. But yeah, It's good to have this external stuff, but, you know, we as hypnotists don't really know what your subjective experience is. So you can use self-hypnosis to its advantage in that place. In order to go about your self-improvement, there's going to be certain aspects that you got to address. If you are using hypnosis, you want to focus on the negative aspects of your personality or your mindsets that are, or your belief systems that are hindering your growth to self-improvement. If you can eliminate that shit, that's really the good work of self-hypnosis in that place. A true self-hypnosis would necessarily be designed and created by the person who's going to use it, right? So when we go, and as a hypnotist, as I would sit there and what we do, I would sit there with you and I would ask you a bunch of questions and doing what we call eliciting values. And we would listen to the words that you use and the pictures that you paint so that we could get our trancey session as close to your words and your mental pictures as we can. And real experts in hypnosis, like one of my mentors, his name's Matt James, he could break down exactly what you were thinking because he'd done it so much, and then feed your words back to you in a way that made you just instantly trust him, and you wouldn't throw out anything that he was saying because he was such a trustworthy guy. Well, it was part of the eliciting values thing. But if you make up your own hypnosis, you already trust yourself in that way. Like, you already bring that with you. So, unlike the mass-produced stuff, you can make it for the exact purpose that you want to make it for, including the precise words, the precise phrases that mean the most to you. True self-hypnosis, like, by yourself, is crafted by you to suit your own needs. The benefits that you derive from it can only be accomplished with such your personal touch. If you create something for yourself, it means you're being hypnotized by yourself, right? I don't know if that makes sense, but master hypnotists can say things and avoid negative spaces and also, like, it's really good to go see a professional, but in lieu of that, you can really create something for yourself that's going to be super effective that some of the more generic hypnotists on the web right now, you're not going to necessarily connect with them as well as you're going to connect with your own voice. So here's a short overview of the self-hypnotic process, and you can use this to your own advantage. There's a lot of variations that have been used in the past, but here's the basic steps that you got to go through in order to hypnotize yourself to accomplish whatever goals you're trying to do in your self-improvement. So you want to start, step one, you want to start from taking your goals that you're trying to accomplish in the hypnosis session. You want to position them from the most important goal to the least important one. So you want to be able to focus on the big picture as well as all the little subsidiary goals that are attached to it. And if possible, you should make sure they're measurable. So when I say goals should be measurable, I mean that they have a specific outcome. You don't say, oh, I want to be thinner. What's better is I will lose 2 pounds this week. Right? This is both time constrained and very specific. It's measurable. You have like 2 pounds. That is your goal. And then you can move on to bigger goals. It's like, oh, I want to fit into a size 6. Like, if you're doing weight loss stuff, having these small, having these small, very specific goals are super useful. Step 2, for each of your goal, you should formulate some fitting suggestions, which means you have to convert your goal into specific instructions to your subconscious on how to achieve it, right? So a suggestion for the weight loss thing is like, oh man, sorry, I'm starting to get sick. It's a suggestion for the weight loss thing is, if I'm going to lose 2 pounds this week, then you should take the suggestion of the goal and move it into something that you're going to tell your subconscious. So an affirmation like, when I see carbohydrates, I think twice about how it's going to affect my healthy self. I am only interested in things that create health for myself, and I'm intuitive, and I know what they are, right? So, like, those types of statements are going to tell your subconscious, oh, yeah, you can trust yourself to have a good decision-making process on this, and the second thing twice when I see carbohydrates. So, when the trigger fires off, I think to myself, oh, yeah, I should probably think twice about that. And then it'll give me a place to intervene where I would, at the end, earlier in my life, I would have just randomly eaten the stuff compulsively without thinking about how it was going to affect my goals. The third step, after you've broken your goals out and then turned your goals into suggestions, is relaxation. So you're going to use the first few minutes of your self-hypnotic session to get as relaxed as possible. Try to forget about all your worries and your problems. But there's a couple of methods you can use to do this. I might break these out into a specific, like, trance induction blog or something. But what I like to do is just flex all of my muscles. So I start with my toes and I flex those, and then I plantar flex, I point my toes down, and then I dorsiflex, I point my toes up, and then I flex my calves, and then I flex my quads, and I flex my hamstrings and my glutes and my low back and my abs, and then I go all the way up my body until I'm like pulling my ears back and flexing my forehead, right? And then I go back down to the bottom. And so when I run that process, it's about 5 minutes long, and I just sort of focus on the body, and it gets me out of the brain, gets me out of the constant thinking that's going on, because I'm focused on doing things with individual body parts, and it's really good to pull you out of your head. So I use that as a relaxation thing. Some people focus on their breathing and attempt to slow their heart rate down. Some people count backwards from 100. There's a bunch of different ways to do relaxation and hypnosis, but I use the body scan flex method. And so you want to get to a place where you just kind of relax and you just like, meh, whatever. And then you say or repeat out loud the words that you chose. Like, if you think to yourself, you don't want to necessarily just think the words. You want to say them to yourself, because it involves all of the different kinesthetic and, you know, all the different representational states. So if you say them to yourself, then you're kind of repeating them like a mantra. You can feel them, you can hear them all the same times. And then once you're relaxed and you're not focused on anything else and judging, then all of the stuff kind of just filters into your brain, and your critical faculty isn't throwing a bunch of shit out. So if you when you kind of do that the first time, you can pay attention to the chatter that comes back, because a lot of times when you say things to yourself, your inner voice will come back and start arguing with you. And so if you just kind of make a mental note of that stuff, then you can modify your next round of suggestions to kind of cut the limiting beliefs of your critical self off. So your next round of suggestions are going to sort of pre-frame whatever your critical self is going to say and cut it off at the pass so it shuts the fuck up. And so I'm a big fan of that. And then once you kind of get, after an iteration or two, once you kind of get stuff that works for you, then go ahead and record it on your voice memo or on your phone, and then you can play it back for yourself after you've done your relaxation technique, and then you don't have to say them or read off a piece of paper or anything over and over again. So I've made quite a few of these. I just sort of pick a subject, like, oh, I want to feel confident around women tonight, and so I sit around and I record about 20 minutes worth of me talking about how awesome I am. And then I play it for myself after a relaxation thing, and then it kind of seeps into my subconscious. And what happens is I start focusing on all the positive stuff and not all the fearful negative shit that I was focusing on before. Super effective. So once you get the recording into your phone, then you can hear it back, and it's usually a lot easier to just sort of play back the stuff that you've already created. And then you can always back and recreate them as your needs change for that particular subject matter. And you can make a whole bunch of them. You just hypnotize yourself every day for different things. If you need a relaxation one, that's cool. If you need to remind yourself to be healthy one, that's cool. If you need to remind yourself to not be overworking yourself, that's cool. If you won't need one for confidence when you're meeting new people, that's cool. So you just make ones, you make hypnosis audios for yourself that are specifically designed for each of the problems that you have, and then you can iterate on them and make them better over time. Before you start up doing this stuff, you should make a time schedule for it. Hypnotic sessions are really good if you do them all the fucking time, because it constantly brings your focus back to center. Some people do this stuff in their meditation routines, but I don't like meditation routines personally. I use a lot more self-talk and a lot more self-hypnosis stuff than I do zoning out. And I do most of my meditation in mindfulness rather than anything else, because it just works better for me. So if you can make a daily routine out of it, it's going to be much better for you. If you do your hypnotic session like, you know, you get yourself a little 5-minute relaxation phase, and then you run yourself a 5 to 20-minute hypnosis session, you've basically talked yourself into awesomeness every day, and it has, it's the kind of thing that has a momentum to it. It just moves along, and, you know, 6-7 days of it, it starts building up, and you start just focusing on the same shit over and over and over again. And if it's all positive shit, if it's all good stuff that is making your life better, then you're going to start to see those results manifest themselves, because you're more attuned to seeing them. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the last thing, measure your progress. Like, see what happens. So if you're working on weight loss, for instance, like, see how well it's working. Because generally, if you do it for a week and then you get no results, it's because your negative self-talk is coming in and it's canceling it out, or you're allowing your critical faculty to take over. So you can go in and fix the hypnosis to something that's a lot more effective at knocking out your negative faculty and just shutting your negative voice up. And as you iterate that and you make it better, then you don't have to worry about it not working, because it's going to start working. You're going to start focusing on the right shit. The only reason you don't focus on the right shit is because your negative voice comes in and you start focusing on that instead. And if you can engineer your hypnosis to knock out all the negative bullshit, then you don't have any negative bullshit left. So measure your progress at least once a week. Go back in and journal. You know, I'm always a big fan of journaling. So drop into your journal and say, hey, I listened to my hypnosis thing 7 times, and here are the results I'm seeing. And you'll start to realize that you're seeing some good stuff happen. And if you don't, then you're seeing bad stuff happen. And then you can go back and re-engineer your hypnosis scripts in order to cancel out that bad stuff, and you'll see results pretty quickly. So go ahead and do that and keep track of it. I've got a worksheet that I'll add onto the blog and for building your hypnosis goals. And if I can find them, I'll go do a bunch of hypnosis scripts for you from my old hard drive. If I can't find them, I'll probably go make some, because I'm going to do a lot of hypnosis stuff in the future on the blog and give you guys access to those resources. The measurement is super important, too, so something to throw into your journal, so that you can see whether or not hypnosis and stuff is working. Awesome. So that was episode, I think, 15 of the Self-Positive Podcast, and talking about self-hypnosis for self-improvement. And tomorrow, I forget what we're talking about, but I'll be back tomorrow with a new podcast. So see you guys tomorrow, and until then, stay positive, stay awesome.